the question is, who is Jesus to you? Before we got to remember this, I had this up here. So Amber, where's Amber? Is she here? Amber, come on up. Baptism last Sunday, right? Everybody gives me that look when they come like this. So it is good to be here in the house of the Lord today, amen. It's good to be here with you today, and knowing that this is a time when we celebrate Easter, so we should be happy with what God has given to us. So that's what we're going to be today, and to celebrate Easter here in the house of the Lord amongst other brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that our salvation did come at a cost. So Friday has passed, the crucifixion, the lashes, and all that Jesus had taken, all that pain and suffering is over. Amen to that. It is over. But there was a purpose for that. And then we, as we know, that death was conquered by Jesus. And we have Easter, the resurrection. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. I want to share with you this morning a little bit about the resurrection morning, but also about what does this mean to us. What are a few things that this means to us? But I do want to give you a little bit here in Matthew chapter 28, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. And they come and they want to see Jesus. They want to come and visit the tomb. Isn't that what we do? We go to grave sites to memory and time to reflect on a loved one, a person that was in our life that has passed. Every one of us have someone that has passed that we have loved, and so we miss them very much. And so they walked with Jesus. These Marys walked with Jesus a lot. They were part of his ministry, and they miss him, and they wanted to go visit. And then here we see in verse 2, there was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. And he rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. All of a sudden, now God has a part where he just intercedes in this whole thing. It's an angel that God uses. I want to remind you that God still uses angels today. He still uses them. We don't worship them. We don't pray to them. They are beings that God created to do his work. And then the scriptures also says that they minister to us. And so we know here that this angel here came in and a big earthquake happened. There's a lot going on in these 3 days for sure. And then we see here, verse 4, the guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. And there were a few guards back in verse 66 of 27. It says they went and secured the tomb by setting the seal on the stone and placing the guards. So there were some guards there that was standing in front of the tomb, just in case somebody thought they might be able to get some people together and roll it away and take his body and say he did resurrect. But God had different plans. God had the angel come and did. The power of one angel is amazing. You can just go and read in the Old Testament. The power of these angels is just unbelievable. The power that these angels have. And here we find out that the earth has quaked. And so now it says in verse 5 that the angel told the women, don't be afraid, because I know who you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. And here's where we find the meat of this piece here. This is what the angel says. First of all, he says, I know who you're looking for. I want to tell you, as a believer, when I see lost people, I know who they're looking for, but they may not know who they're looking for. But we, as believers, know that they need Christ in their life. People need Christ in their life. Every human being needs Christ in their life, whether they think so or not. God created man. God created woman for his pleasure, for his communion. And however, all the reasons he made it for his own purposes, but human beings rebelled. And listen, the government is not saving a soul. Social Security is not saving a soul. If you camp all your stuff in the government and Social Security and all that, you are on a dead end. You are heading down a dead end, ready to walk off a cliff. This country could be bankrupt in a moment. This country can be bankrupt in a moment. And financially, it can be bankrupt in a moment, but I'm telling you, spiritually, it's getting there. It's getting there. And I'm telling you, it's not about a party. This one and that one and the one in the middle. It's not about those parties. It never was and never was about that. Why do we Americans think the world revolves around the United States? It's only been here for a couple hundred years. We're so prideful. And don't tell me about the military, because I served for 5 years and I love our country. I served for 5 years. I know what it means to serve. But I'm telling you, we put so much stock into the world, into America. And God, we need to put our stock in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because on your death day, who are you going to call? You going to call Uncle Sam? You going to call the governor? He ain't coming to your funeral. He ain't coming to your deathbed. You got cancer, you're sick, you whatever. He's not going to visit you in jail. He's not going to visit you in the hospital. Not going to do it. There's nothing for him to gain or nothing for her to gain from it. We've got to quit putting so much stock into all the things that the United States is trying to put us, get us to fall into. It is Jesus Christ. This is God's world. And don't you think the United States can't be turned upside down? You can ask, go back several thousand, you can go back a couple thousand years ago, maybe 1,600 years ago, and ask the Romans, how in the world did they fall? How did Alexander the Great fall? How did Attila the Hun fall? How did the Germans fall? How did the Russians fall? They all fell. They all rose and they all fell. How did Babylon? They all rose and they all fell. But all God Almighty still stands and sits on the throne. And Jesus sits at the right hand interceding for the saints. I'm telling you, this world is much bigger than the United States. An angel says, he says, I know who you're looking for. I know you're looking for Jesus. Not everyone will say out loud they're looking for Jesus. But I'm telling you, this country is in a mess. And I want to tell you why I believe this country's in a mess, because the churches are in a mess. Many churches and denominations, which are the way of the world. But he also says this, you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Heaven knows what happened to Jesus. God knows what happened to Jesus. All the angels know what happened to Jesus. All the world, they're doing this, crucify. They're doing this, oh, Hosanna, back on Palm Sunday. They're doing all that, but I'm telling you, the demons know who, they knew Jesus was crucified. The whole universe knew that Jesus was crucified. Yet man still says it didn't happen. Aren't we the foolish ones? You know why? Because Satan is working his works. God is working his works. But man loves sin. Man loves the world. Man wants to do what he wants to do. Man wants to get God to work around what he wants. And that's not the way it works. That is not the way that it works. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, right? Whoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We'll get to that. But he says this, Jesus who was crucified, he makes a statement. He knows, he says, he was crucified. There's always an audience bigger than you think. He also says, he is not here. Jesus is not here. Anytime I do a funeral, I always say the body, the person is not here. The body is here, but the person is not here. The person is not here. They're not, if they were here, they would be breathing. They were part of that body. That's the body that they had. And so then the person is laying in the coffin. They've been cremated. That person is not there. That person is gone. God breathed into this creation. He breathed the living spirit into it. And before the man came to be, until God breathed the living spirit, it wasn't alive. And so God gave a living spirit, and the living spirit lives on. And so he says, he is not here. He is not here. And then he says this, for he has risen. He makes his claim. He says he has risen. He has risen. And so we know that this angel comes and speaks these truths, these facts. They saw it all, but he has risen. He is not here. You're coming to a tomb. You're coming to a grave. He's not here. And the body's not there. Then he says, verse 7, then go quickly and tell his disciples. This is what he said. Go tell the disciples. He has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have to what I have told you. Listen, I have told you. So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the good news. Here we go. So they are following the instructions that the angel told them. And they hightail it out. And there's a fear and there's a joy. There's a fear and there's a joy. There's a fear and a joy that you can have at both times. And it's good to have a fear of the Lord. Amen? It is a good to have fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the peace that we need. Listen, if you don't fear God in any way, then I fear for you. I fear for you. I fear for you. The way you're living, the way you're doing life or whatever, I can help, you can do, and you can lead, do all those things. I'm telling you, every man, every woman will stand before God and give an account. And mom and dad cannot be there to help you. Your pastor can't be there to help you. Your Christian friends are not going to be there to help you. It's going to be you and who you say Jesus is, but also who Jesus knows you as. Do you have salvation? Listen, if you have salvation, why you live like you live? Why do you live like you live, like you aren't saved? But also, you that are believers, why we want to be so self-righteous? We've got to be careful not to be so self-righteous that we put ourselves above others. And this is where I'm going to go. What are some things that God has done here in this whole thing? He says Jesus was crucified. Crucified for what reason? The angel says Jesus was crucified. He was crucified for all of our sins. That's why he was crucified, for nothing else. For our sins. I'm a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. I've chosen to receive that gift of salvation that was in front of me at a very young age. But I know that this crucifixion is what, and who saves my life? It is Jesus Christ. He is the one that was crucified. And it wasn't just for me, it was for the whole world. And for you too. But also, Jesus is not here right now. He is sitting at the right hand of the Lord, interceding for us. And we know that Jesus is risen because death could not hold him. He's the only one that was perfect. And it's the promise of the resurrection. When he is resurrected, it's the promise that we also, too, will be resurrected. But we won't be resurrected with that old body. We'll be resurrected with a new body. So what happens with our spirit? The body's still there. If I go to a graveyard, you dig it up, that body is still there. Why? Because that's the body. And it was that body died. And that person died. So where's that person at? Well, the spirit goes to belong with Christ if they are with Christ. And if not, then they go to a place of separation. Separation from God until the second death. Until that great white throne judgment. And then they get put into that. And then the great white throne judgment. And then they are going to be found guilty because they were being judged on their works, and then it will go through the second death. But praise be to Jesus. If you know Jesus, you will not have a second death. Amen? You will not have a second death. You will not have a second death because Jesus always is always about the resurrection. We'll be resurrected. So three things I want to share with you about this crucifixion piece, but also the greatest piece is about the resurrection. Without the crucifixion, there could be no resurrection. Without the resurrection, there wouldn't be no crucifixion. It all works and plays in together so that we might be able to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Number one is forgiveness. Forgiveness. When we come to Christ, we have forgiveness, but we just don't have forgiveness for the one thing. We have forgiveness, an eternal forgiveness. Our sins are cast away. As far as the east is from the west, well, he remembers them no more. When Christ forgives, he forgives, and he lets go of it. When Christ forgives, even as me as a Christian, I am forgiven. All my sins are forgiven. Now, when I sin, the Holy Spirit convicts my heart, and the Holy Spirit's telling me that I need to go, and I need to pray, and I need to get right with God. I need to get right with Jesus. Well, my sins are forgiven. Because if it's not, then Jesus would have to go back to the cross again. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. He did it once. That's how good it was. That's how good The crucifixion and the resurrection was and still is. Got friends of mine that grew up and who said, man, if I have Christ in my life. And then they would run around and say, you know, if I said a swear word in my car and I got in a car accident, I have a sin that I did not confess and I'm going to hell. I said, brother, what kind of Bible are you reading? That's not the Bible that I read. I said, how in the world would I live? I'm not going to even do anything because I would live in fear that I'm going to mess up and I'm going to go to hell because I said something wrong. I did something wrong because the Scripture says, you hear me say it all the time, the Scripture, Paul says, even if my conscience is clear, it doesn't make me innocent. So I can't be my own judge. I know that I fail. There's times when I sin that I don't even know I realize that I sinned. Does that make me innocent of that? No. I still sin. It doesn't mean I have to know I did it. But the Holy Spirit convicts our heart that we need to get right with the Lord. So when it says forgiven, when I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. But he also says, the Scriptures also says, and Paul's teaching, that when we do, we know that we're saved and our sins are forgiven. It doesn't give us a license to go out and sin. It doesn't give us a right to go out and sin free and willingly. Because the Scripture also says that God disciplines those whom he loves. You think your daddy can? You can get in trouble with your dad or your mom? I'm telling you, when you get in trouble with the Lord, he has a whooping stick. He has a strong hand at times, because we I'm telling you, we fluff it up in America. We fluff it up in American churches. Oh, God is all love. He's all compassion, and he would never do anything and never whip my butt, never put me in the corner. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I was pretty much away from the Lord for 3 years. It took him 9 years to get me in order, get me back in line. 3 years. For every 1 year I did, he gave me 3 years on it before he called me to preach. Had a lot of work to do. And I'm telling you, forgiveness that Christ gives is real. And I'm so thankful for the forgiveness that he has given to me. And I know that you are the same. There's so many of you that say, you know, I'm so thankful for the forgiveness that God has given to me. And God gives it through his son, Jesus Christ, because of what he's done on the cross and what he did at the resurrection. If you think it's another plan, it's not. Everything goes back to the cross. Everything goes back to the empty tomb. Everything goes back to Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way for the forgiveness. No other way. It was the blood that Christ shed on the cross for the remission and the forgiveness of sin. But also, besides the eternal forgiveness, there is also eternal love. You see, the Bible says that for God so loved the world. God loves the world. He does. He loves people. He loves people. He loves people. But that's not an eternal love. An eternal love is for those who come to Christ and call him Lord and Savior. They'll be with him, we'll be with Christ forever, and will we be able not just to have eternal love, but we'll experience the eternal love that God will love us forever and ever and ever. You can only get that through salvation. You can only get that through calling Jesus your Lord and Savior. Only get that by saying, Lord, I am a sinner, and I need you in my life. But also not only eternal love, but he also gives us something special. He gives us this thing called eternal salvation. Kind of touched on it for a minute. If I was a sin, you know, when you sin, you think, I'm going to lose my salvation. I'm going to get saved again. I'm going to lose my salvation. I'm going to get saved. Listen, I went to a church one time where a guy just kept coming down every week and wanted me to pray with him every week. He said, I got to get saved this week. I sinned this week. I said, brother, you're going to be here all the time. He thought that every time he sinned, he lost his salvation and he needed to come and get saved again. There's some false teachings out there. And if you don't read the Bible, you can fall into some of these things that are not good. Listen, that salvation is the real deal, sealed to the day of redemption. Ephesians tells us you're sealed to the day of redemption. I'm telling you, it's not by works, it's by grace. Your sins are forgiven. God loves you. You come to Christ, he loves you. That love turns into, not that he loves you, wanting you to come to him, but he loves you now. Once you come to Christ through eternal, through salvation, that he loves you as a child of the family of God. And then he gives us eternal salvation. Let me tell you, what God does is real. What Christ does is real, and it's got a guarantee, and it is the best guarantee of all things. It is the real deal. There's no shortcomings on it. It doesn't have any cracks. It don't have any misspelled word. It is the real deal. But man wants to keep messing it up, wants to add this, wants to take this out. No, we don't want to talk about Romans 1. No, we don't want to talk about Ephesians 4. No, we don't want to talk about these. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. We want to add this or we want to claim that. Listen, just do what the Bible tells you to do and you'll be okay. When you start reading the Word, you say, Lord, I don't understand what it is. Or, Lord, I've read this chapter 25 times in my life. But, Lord, give me deeper insight on what it is. I'm telling you, there's no other book than the book of the Bible that where you can just read it so many times and ask and get more and more every time you read it. More and more and more. God speaks through His Word. So many people want God to speak to them, but they won't get into the Word. You want God to speak to you? Get into His Word. Read the chapters that are hard to read. Read those pieces. I'm telling you, because of the crucifixion, because of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I hope that your life is a whole lot better than when you did it on your own. Folks, I'm going to tell you today that I have this eternal forgiveness. I have this eternal love. I have this eternal salvation. But what happens is you don't want to have it all by yourself. You want to share it. I'm nobody special. Jesus is the one that's special. But I also know what's inside of me. I want other people to have that. I want other people to come to Christ. I want some family members of mine to get their life right. I want other people to get it right with Christ. With Christ. So what do we do with this? So what do we do with this resurrection piece? Well, Jesus says this after He spent some time walking around, ministering and talking and meeting with the disciples a few times. He comes to this place here. It's called the Great Commission. He's getting ready now to go a little bit higher. He's getting ready to go a little bit higher. He's walking on the earth, and now it's time to go. It's time to go. He's done the crucifixion. He's done the burial. He's done the resurrection. He showed Himself so people could testify, witnesses to His resurrection. And here it is in verse 16. He said, the 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. Listen, I'm telling you right now, if you do what God tells you to do, when you get there, you'll have a testimony. If you don't, you'll miss it. So these 11 guys, they went and they did exactly what they were told to do. So they went there. And when they saw Him, they worshipped, but some doubted. How in the world can people doubt when He's right there? You know why? Because we still doubt at times. Come on now. We still doubt at times about Jesus. We have doubts. We just have doubts. But He says they worshipped, but some doubted. But Jesus came near and He said to them, this is what He says, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Who gave Him that authority? God did. The Father did. He obeyed the Father. He did what God had instructed for Him to do. He was obedient. And there's so many scriptures that this confirm this. But all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Maybe your interpretation says the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. But here He says, you want to go out and you make disciples. What you got for Me, Jesus says, you need to go out and share with others. What you got for Me, Jesus says, I want you to go out and share with others. The United States used to be the number one nation in the world that would send out missionaries all over the world. And now Africa is sending missionaries to the United States. You know what they're saying? The American church has lost its way. They're not saying the American church has lost its nation stuff and all the things of that, but has lost its way in what? In following the Word of God, loving people. But here it is. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Here we go. Teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Isn't that awesome? Jesus says, I am with you to the very end. So I said in the beginning, you're lying on your deathbed. The governor's not coming. Mayor's not coming, most likely. President's not coming. Big names are not coming to see you because you aren't a big name in the world. But I'm going to tell you, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're a big name. I'd rather have angels come around me than a bunch of people. Because that's all part of the Lord. I'm telling you, Let me tell you, God knows how to escort His people home. God knows how to escort His people home. Number one way, guaranteed, better than a limo, being escorted with a band of angels. Why? Because this is someone important. This person believed in my son. This person received my son as their Lord and personal Savior. I was God in their life. I was Savior in their life. You know what? God's going to show up. Holy Spirit's going to show up. Jesus is going to show up. Angels going to show up. And they're going to take you to exactly where you need to go in the presence of the Lord. I don't care. I mean, I talk to my wife when I'm buried. They may do a military piece. They may put a flag over me. But I'm telling you what, that flag is just a representation of maybe a few years of my life. But I'm telling you, it's more, oh, that's just a little thing. It's all about me and Jesus. There it is. So when I pass away and I'm laying in that coffin, I'm telling you, don't you weep for me. You sit there and say, there was a believer right there. He had so many flaws, but I want to tell you, that man believed in Jesus. But he was a sinner, but he believed in Jesus. He was a sinner, but he was a saint in the eyes of God. And the world can say all they want to say, but go back to the Word. The absent, the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. This is as bad as it gets for me. This is as bad as it gets for you. Whatever left time you have on the earth, this is the worst. And God did it all because He knew that man could not do this on their own. Man just keeps failing. So God says, there is a way, son. There is a way. It's a hard way. It's painful. But you got to go down and live with them. Not at 30. But you got to go all the way through it. Scripture says they looked high, they looked low, they looked around, and no one can do it but one. Don't tell me today that God and Jesus don't love you. He loves every single one of us. If you're not living your life for Jesus, you're living it for yourself. And I'm telling you, it's a sad story when people laying on their deathbed and there's really just no one there. Maybe a couple of family members. But if you don't have the presence of God, you are as cold as ice. You are done. You are at the end of your road. And death and the demons are just egging, ready to drag you to hell. You got one shot in this world. You got one lap. I don't know how big your lap is. I know how big mine is. I think I do so much. I think I'm around turn 3, looking at turn 4. And then soon I'm going to be seeing the finish line. But I want to know, my finish line has Jesus at the end of it. And my loved ones across there that knew Jesus too. See, I have that promise too. So do you. If you have Christ, you get to see your loved ones come to know Christ too. But we all family. What is Easter? Easter is a promise. For those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is all about that Jesus did everything that He's supposed to do, that He did for the Father. And that resurrection is a symbolic piece also that we also, when we die, will be resurrected too on the great and calling to the Lord Jesus Christ, arise, the bride, come home. And I hope that you are part of that as well. I hope you're part of that as well. Today I have peace in my life no matter what's going on in my own world, in my personal life. Sometimes those things get all screwed up and messed up, but I want to tell you, there's a peace that is stronger than any situation you go through, and that is the peace that only God can give. And you only have that by having a relationship with Jesus. It's peace. You see, there's so many spiritual things that God gives to us. And I want to remind you, they're real. They're real. They're real. They're real. I'll give you two quick stories here, and I'm going to wrap this up. Since we're talking about funerals a little bit, there was a funeral I did that I felt it was as cold as ice. Now, it sounds like I'm judging, but God does give us the spirit of discernment. And I'll just say off of the spiritual discernment, I just felt that this person was totally lost. Totally lost. In a coffin. People were gathered around and there was so much crying. I mean, it was ugly crying, if you know what I mean. Ugly crying. Ugly crying. Ugly crying. Not a mention of the Lord. There was no peace found in that funeral home. There were no hope. Just pain and suffering. I shared Jesus, and it just to what I felt it just went. It couldn't even catch it. But I go to Phil Jones's funeral, and it was a celebration. It was a beautiful celebration. Beautiful. There was an attitude of joy, even though there was, just as these days, they ran in fear and in joy. There was suffering, but also a joy, knowing. The greatest peace is always this. The same thing I told my dad. I looked over and I knew it was his body, but I said, I'll see you later. Not that it's over, I just said, I'll see you later. See, the promises of God are everlasting. They're real. The things of the world have an end. Everything in the world has an end. Everything in the world has an end. This is why God says, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jump on the Lord's wagon. I'm telling you, it'll be the ride of your life. It'll be the best thing in your life. And you know what's awesome about it? You don't have to do life alone anymore. Because I don't make the best choices and decisions for myself. But when I ask the Lord, I'm telling you, He is there. Let's not do that. Let's do this. Don't think about that. Let's get your mind over here. God is good today, amen? But even if we weren't, God would still be good. God doesn't need me, I need Him. He doesn't need Jimmy Stadium for nothing. I'm so replaceable, it's pitiful. You know what, though? He knows that. He knows that about you. But He loves you enough not to leave you where you're at. He loves you enough to take you on a trip that is so amazing. We got church planters coming out. Never thought of that. Coming out of the church, that's an amazing calling that God doesn't have to use them. At all. But God chooses to. Father, we're getting ready to make a move here to our next part of our service where we just have an opportunity to pray and thank you and to whatever your will may be done in your will and for your will and your purposes in Christ's name. Amen. Let's